Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
That's NBC10's Mike Manzoni this past April on Boston's rat problem. But is the rat population on the rise, or are we just noticing them more? Certainly people are noticing the rats. Joining us now, John Ulrich. He is the Assistant Commissioner of Environmental Services for the Department of Inspectional Services for the City of Boston. John, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So you're a guy where rats are in your portfolio.
Yes.
So what does that mean?
So I run the Environmental Service Division of Inspectional Services for the City of Boston. And our main function is rodent control in the city. We do that. We have 14 licensed pest control inspectors spread out through wards. And we respond to 311 complaints. We have proactive soil baiting. We do pest control on city property and public property, parks, stuff like that.
So have you noticed an uptick in 311 calls?
I would say that this year is average. 2020, there was a bit of an uptick. It went down in 2021, but not by much. I wouldn't say that there is an overwhelming number of more calls.
So that's the count on the calls. Tell us a little bit about how you count the rats. I mean, you can't do a rat census. You can't find them all. So how do you figure out how many rats you're dealing with and where they are?
So that is a challenge. It's a challenge nationwide. How do you find the population? There is no good measure. It's we respond to complaints. We do proactive inspections. We do about maybe two neighborhood walkthroughs a week in coordination with other departments. We get referrals from other departments. Public Works, we work very closely with. Constituent Services, NRISD, and the Mayor's Office of Neighborhood Services.
I'm sorry, what is NRISD?
Constituent Service. We have a department, division of ISD that is Constituent Services that deal directly with constituents in the neighborhoods.
And I'm very curious about these walkthroughs. What, literally, tell me what that is.
So we set up a meeting with constituents, sometimes neighborhood groups, neighborhood associations. We coordinate them through the Office of Neighborhood Services, the mayor's office, and our constituents. And we have our whole team go out, myself or Director Mike Mackin, and multiple inspectors. And we walk the neighborhood where we see an increase of rodent activity.
For example, one of the most recent neighborhoods you've walked?
East Boston.
Okay.
East Boston, Jeffries Point, seen an increase. And so we allow the residents to point to what they're seeing. We do education. The biggest part of walkthroughs is education. So we teach people about the causes of rodent activity, supporting environments that help rodents thrive, which is trash, harborage, and water.
Yeah, what do you want people to know?
That the main way to address rodent activity is to make sure your trash is stored properly, that you clean up after your pets. That's one that many people don't know, but dog feces and pet feces is a food source for rodents. Feeding the birds or bird seed, bird feeders, is another large food source in the city. And so we have to pay attention to those. And if we take care of those, if you see rodents on your property, you should immediately call a pest control company, a technician, licensed pest control. Call us, call 311. When you put in a complaint to 311, it will go directly to the area inspector. And if you include your contact information, that inspector will reach out to you immediately within 24 to 48 hours.
All right. And just lastly, your preferred method of rat control? I mean, besides the mitigation things you're talking about, but...
So our approach is an IPM approach. So we put in controls to remove the supportive environment. And then the last part of that is introducing pesticides or some kind of pest control. But before that, you want to cover your trash. You want to remove things that supported any kind of harborage And then the last part of that would be hiring a pest control company.
All right. John Ulrich is the Assistant Commissioner for Environmental Services in Boston's Department of Inspectional Services. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So listening into that conversation was WBUR's Walter Wuthman. He has recently done some reporting on rats and solutions for curbing their numbers. Welcome back, Walt.
Hey, Tiziana.
So first, reactions to what we just learned from John Ulrich.
Yeah, I mean, the city does a lot. The city does a lot in terms of pest control, especially in a city like Boston, where I think a lot of us are used to seeing rats quite often. I sort of got into this story a couple of years ago. You may remember on Radio Boston, we were seeing all these headlines, you know, anecdotally, people seeing more rats around their homes.
In 2020, during the early stages of the pandemic.
During the early stages of the pandemic, we brought on former Assistant Commissioner Boucher to talk about it. I went back and listened to that interview, and there was just such a great quote. I pulled it, and I want to play it again here today.
All the rats need are food and water. They don't need anything extravagant. It doesn't have to be spring water, and it doesn't have to be filet mignon. you know, any type of food refuse, any type of water, puddles, stagnant water, things of that nature will suffice as a food source.
You can hear Chris Siderick laughing during that quote, but It shows the point that rats are really resilient. They can survive on a lot. 2 years later, I wanted to see, you know, were these anecdotal? Was this a flash in the pan or is it a real thing? And it does turn out to be, there does seem to be a real change.
So you did a numbers hustle on this. You did some counting. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I got help from Todd Wallach, an editor here who's amazing with data. We pulled all the 311 complaints from 2013. We filtered for rat and rodent complaints. And we do see that complaints are up 48% from 2019 to 2021, the last year of full data. So people are seeing rats more. People are reporting rats more. To dig a little further into it, I got in touch with an urban ecologist at Fordham University who's done a study specific to New York City, but he's been looking at cities all across the Northeast. And he did confirm that at least in the Northeast and in some Midwestern cities, it seems that the pandemic almost certainly led to an increase in urban rat populations.
All right. So we do think that there is a smoke and fire correlation here.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So one of the things that is interesting in your reporting is how cities and towns are combating this problem. I mean, I think everybody just assumes that the answer is those big black boxes, right, that you see sitting around. But that's not necessarily the case.
No, and like the assistant commissioner just said, you know, trapping is kind of like the last resort. The most important thing is eliminating shelter, burrows, water, food. But when it does come to trapping and killing rats, different communities are doing some pretty creative things. So I followed a team around Somerville. They have about 50 of these metal boxes they called smart boxes, which rats crawl into, and they kill them with a quick electric shock.
Because is it considered humane?
More humane than poison.
Okay. Sorry, finish the description.
It's debatable. Yeah. And because they're electric, they also record every kill, and they send an email to this portal, which the city can then use to see what time was the rat killed, where was the rat killed, and they can construct these data maps, actually, of where the most rats are and when they're most active. I went out with one of the teams in Boston, on Boston Common, where they are fumigating rat burrows with carbon monoxide, this machine called the Burrow RX. It's this hose that they put down into the burrows and fill with this carbon monoxide gas. And they try to eliminate whole burrow systems with that. You know, it's kind of dramatic. You see the smoke rising out of these holes. And then as the smoke rises, they're filling them with dirt to try to close off the whole system. And that seems to be a quite effective way to control the rat population.
And let's talk about the humaneness of that particular approach.
Yeah, so I really was wondering, are these, you know, things humane? You know, rats are obviously a public health problem, but they're also intelligent animals with complex social worlds that I think we should be concerned about, you know, how we treat them. So I got in touch with an animal rights activist named Holly Elmore. She works at the think tank called Rethinking Priorities, and she ranked all of these things with all the existing research that she could find. And she does rank the carbon monoxide as quite humane comparatively. It probably makes the rats lose consciousness, like they're falling asleep. The shocking is probably humane as long as it's effective the first time. She says the worst thing you can do is feed the rats poison. Most commercial rat poisons affect the rat's bloodstream. And she gave me this pretty shocking description of what happens to the rat's blood when they consume the poison.
They have hemorrhages that can affect, you know, their brain. It can be really painful, especially if there's hemorrhages in the abdomen. And it's just a bad death.
Ew.
Yeah, and what's really bad, too, is when, you know, hawks, owls, eagles eat contaminated rats, and they've been known to die. Children can get into rat poison, and the EPA estimates 10,000 children across the country are sickened every year. Not die, but, you know, are sickened and have to get treatment. So there is sort of a growing movement to, if not eliminate, you know, really cut back on the use of commercial rat poisons.
So I know you, and I know, or my impression is, Walt, and we're talking to Walt Wuthman from WBUR here about rat reporting. It seems to me there's always something you find to fall in love with in a story that you do. So we're doing rats. So what did you fall in love with in this story?
I learned so much about rats that I never knew. One of the more interesting things is that there's different species, different types of rats, and we have different rats than like San Francisco. So Boston, we have more of the brown rat or the Norway rat or the sewer rat. They live closer to the ground and we see them more often. Whereas on the West Coast and in places like Tokyo, they have roof rats.
Roof rats.
You know, which interact a little bit less with our garbage. And, you know, those cities have actually seen less upticks in complaints. And so they think, you know, they actually responded to lockdowns differently. But they're two different kinds of rats. Rats also have really hard teeth. Sometimes they're rated harder than copper or iron, and that's why they can chew through those really thick trash cans. Their teeth grow throughout their whole life, so they have to keep gnawing them down. That sort of blew my mind as well.
Yeah, so maybe not be fair to say that you fall in love with something, but something's fascinating. It's the physiology of these rats in this case.
Yeah, they're interesting, and they're clearly really smart. And then another thing I didn't include in the reporting, but just going through the 311, there's just some hilarious and disturbing complaints. And so I would encourage anyone to go to Boston's 311 website and read through some of those rodent complaints.
All right, WBUR's Walter Wuthman, thanks so much for joining us for our From the Newsroom.
Thank you.